In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I wonder if you've had an experience I have had. I have found myself trying to explain an idea and just couldn't get it out. Maybe you've been describing something you felt and you just can't identify it, but just then your friend supplies the right word and you instantly know that it's the right word for that experience. That's the power of language. In today's reading from the book of Acts about the first Pentecost, we are told the several signs of God's presence as the Holy Spirit came to those first Christians. There was the sound of wind, and that sound came from heaven. There were lights above their heads that looked like flames of fire, and there were the sounds of many identifiable languages. Some contemporary spiritual but not religious people dismiss such signs as magic or make-believe, but we Christians do not. All human beings experience altered states of consciousness. For example, you may have driven home safely and may have followed all the rules of the road, and yet you do not remember the trip. I'm told there are some parishioners who check out as soon as the sermon starts, and they go to the golf course or review today's dinner menu. Brain scientists know that all human beings experience altered states of consciousness. Many modern people assume these experiences are meaningless. They are meaningless if one does not have a cultural or philosophical setting explaining them. However, altered states of consciousness can be profoundly meaningful if a culture provides a viable context for them. As a student of anthropology, I know that the cultural and theological world of a community is based on reality and the experiences of that community. In our Christian faith, we have deep understandings of what altered states of consciousness can mean, much of which we have inherited from Judaism. Sounds, flames, and multilingual events we understand as an intrusion of the sacred world into this one. These are signs of a revelation of God. Pentecost is the experience of the Holy Spirit of God coming to us, the Christian community. Let's consider just one of these signs, the place of language. As Christians, we understand language to be a sacred ability given to us by God because it is also a quality of God. God speaks. We have inherited from our Jewish spiritual ancestors an entire theology about language. Firstly, God called this universe into being by using language. Genesis tells us, God said, "Let there be light." And God said, "It was good." Our physical world was created by language, by God speaking it into being. In a later Genesis story about the Tower of Babel, we hear about how human language went from one to many. I was taught that God deliberately mixed up human language to counter the human pride of thinking we could build a tower to heaven. Contemporary commentators say this story about Babel is about God using many languages to show that God prefers diversity to uniformity. The people of Israel know that God reveals in language. The major statement of allegiance for Israel is Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel. God reveals in language. God speaks to Noah and Moses and the prophets. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, Hosea, Joel, Jonah, Zephaniah, Haggai, and Zechariah, and they say so in their texts. Ezekiel, Amos, and Isaiah experience God revealed by vision, but this happened more rarely, and even so, it was in words and language that they learned God's will and teaching. God continues to instruct and teach in language at the time of Jesus. In the Gospel of Matthew, God uses language to teach Joseph about the place of Mary and her child. John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, doubts what he has told, and so his ability to use language is temporarily withheld from him. In the Gospel of Luke, the angel Gabriel speaks to Mary. It is by being spoken to that Mary becomes pregnant. This is restated each day when we recite the Angelus and say, "The angel spake unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Ghost." That is the power of language and its ability to reveal and to create. In the later life of the church, language continues to be seen as divine and the way God reveals. Saint Justin Martyr wrote in the second century, his feast day was just this last Thursday, he writes that and reminds us that God spoke creation into being. And our own ability to speak was generated by God the Father. Saint Augustine of Hippo, in the 5th century, wrote that the ability to speak is the image of the Holy Trinity in the human soul. In the 13th century, Thomas Aquinas says that God is beyond language, but language is the best tool to understand God since God gave it to us. The power of language is a factor the Church continues to understand. At the time of the Reformation, Article 24 of our Anglican 39 article says, "It is repugnant to the Word of God to minister the sacraments in a tongue not understanded of the people." A 1960s Vatican II Declaration on Christian Missions says that if any people and their language are not a part of the church community, there is some quality about God that we will not know. Every people and each language teaches about the nature of God. The anthropologist Edward T. Hall says you're a prisoner of your language. You see only what you have words for. And you can see the world only the way your language permits you to see it. A simple example is that in my Lakota language, we have a word for the humblest seat in the teepee. It's the place just inside the door on the right. A well-behaved Lakota person always goes to that seat first. There is no English word for that place, to my knowledge, so that courtesy behavior of always going to the lowest seat would not have a foundation for those who speak English. But think about a deeper example, and you won't even be able to think this. You'll just have to imagine. If you think in a European language, you think time exists. But it doesn't. It's rather an impression created because European languages have verbs that must always be in a time tense. And if you think in those states of time, you assume time exists, but it does not. It doesn't exist in my Lakota language. And so we think, without hindrance of time, or even of place, for that matter. This is also true of Cree speakers and Hopi, as well as many other First Nations languages. People who think in those languages do so with no time markers. At Pentecost, the presence of the Holy Spirit of God was verified by the sound of many languages. However, imagine being Marie Wilcox. the Yurok elder, who is today the last person who can speak her language. When she dies, that way of understanding the world will come to an end, and there is a characteristic of God that we will no longer know. Esther Wesley, the director of our Anglican Healing Fund, says that today 70% of the requests for funds now coming to Church House are for First Nations language revitalization, since First Nations languages were devastated by the residential school era. I know one Omaha First Nation community that was near where I used to live. When they had one person left who could speak their language, they recorded her for years. They compiled a dictionary and wrote a grammar book, but that language is now gone from the earth. There is something about God we will no longer know, because that language, one of the qualities of the nature of God, is gone. When the day of Pentecost had come, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "How is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power?" So you see what a gift God gave us in language. It is the mark of God's presence in any culture, as well as on that very first Pentecost. Amen.